Good morning and welcome to our services. More people here than there are on occasion. Didn't hear that I was doing the lesson. Some of them did and are not here yet. But I'd like to talk to you this morning about a word that we don't hear mentioned very often. Matter of fact, until I was well along in life, I never was made aware of it. Had heard it, but never thought much about it, and then got to finding out how serious a problem it is, and that's our presumptuousness. A big 35 cent word. We presume things, and we're familiar with what happens there. We make presumptions, and we can be presumptuous. And there are some things behind it that we need to look into and just find out where we stand when we are presumptuous or make presumptions. To presume, of course, is to take for granted as being true in the absence of proof to the contrary. That's kind of complicated. To give reasonable evidence for assuming, appear to prove. To venture without authority or position, to dare, to presume. And it gets a little worse. Presumption, a behavior or language that is boldly arrogant and offensive. These are Bible definitions, by the way, not just English dictionary. There's Amber's alert again. I got this thing turned off, but can you hear it? Pardon me. Going beyond what is right or properly, excessively forward. Behavior or language that is boldly arrogant or offensive, got that far. Effrontery, that's another big one that we don't hear often. Brazen boldness. I think that gets a little closer to what we can understand. Presumptuous, going beyond what is right or proper. Excessively forward, we got that. And presumptuousness also defined as self-willed, as opposed to yielding to the will of others. Self-assertive, heard expression, well, it used to be a push towards assertive training on the part of people, and I heard the expression, it's going to be an interesting affair when everybody completes their self-assertive training in it. Well, we would all be presumptuous then. Vine says, and he defines words from the Greek, he's an authority, calls it irreverent, daring, shamelessness. Okay, we've got a little bit of a groundwork there. We got some many occurrences of the condition mentioned in the Old Testament. We won't go through all of those. But presume is used at least two times, presume the past tense one time, presumptuous two times, presumptuously six times. And just look at a couple of Old Testament conditions that were described that involved presumptuousness. Numbers 15:30, the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among the people. Deuteronomy 1:43, so I spake to you, you would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went presumptuously up the hill. Presumptuousness, rebelling against the commandment of the Lord. Deuteronomy 17:12. The man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord God or unto the judge, even that man shall die. And thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. All the people shall hear and fear. Do no more presumptuously. if we hear and fear and submit, then that's not being presumptuous, right? Making it look a little worse all the time. To act presumptuously, a person shows pride. Now, we inadvertently or in error use the word pride sometimes when we shouldn't. We say we're proud of this and that. If you look at the Bible verses that include the word proud and teach how well it pleases God, you won't find that it does. We, instead of saying we're proud, sometimes maybe we should say we're thankful for the circumstances. That's pretty close to presumptuousness, pride. Arrogance is being shown in presumptuousness. Self-will, excuse me, lack of respect for the Word of God and the authority of God. New Testament uses of the word presumptuous, getting closer to home. This is a rather extensive reading, but I want to do all of it quickly. 2 Peter 2, 9 through 21. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise government, not just civil government, but being governed, despise being governed. We want to do it our way. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to write in the daytime, spots they are, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who lived the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest wind, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. When they speak great spelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the first. In the beginning, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn away. All a result of presumptuousness, self-willed insistence of one on invoking his own will and refusing to submit to the will of the higher power of God. In the qualifications of elders, Titus 1 and 7, it said that the elder must not be self-willed. Not being self-willed, or being self-willed, excuse me, is the opposite of meekness. We've heard of meekness defined as power under control. It comes up a little short. Meekness is subduing your own will and submitting to the will of God. That's the state of meekness. In Psalm 131, the psalmist said, this has become a favorite passage of mine. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself. As a child that is weaned of his mother, my soul is even as a weaned child. Wean yourself off of being haughty and having a lofty heart. James 1:26-27, I believe, describes a person who has suffered from presumptuousness. It says there, if a man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. There's one who has a tendency, as we, in the old expression, we use, toot his own horn a little too loudly. This man would seem to be religious. He brags about his religious accomplishments and all the good he's done in this life. He deceives his own heart. His religion is vain, the scripture says there. Contrary to that, what God approves is simply doing good and letting the good speak for itself, not having us speak for ourselves. Romans 12, 1-8, describes in detail how to carry out love without hypocrisy and no presumptuousness in there. I'll not read that, leave that up to you. Romans 12. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. To be presumptuous is to reject the will of God, the gospel, the knowledge of God, the power of God, and the righteousness of God. Now that puts one in pretty bad circumstances. Romans 10, beginning verse 1, Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is, for Israel is, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, separate from the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God here is not just the fact that God is righteous, but he's the way that he makes man righteous. They have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, submitted themselves to their own will. James 1:19-22. Beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Submissiveness. And in Romans 1, this is, I guess we got a little time, and I do want to get this in. Paul said, beginning in verse 16 of Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith, the faith, to faith, our faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things, idols. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. This describes a condition of depravity that's perhaps not exceeded. But you know, we have this among us today. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debates, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. These have risen to the height of presumptuousness and had sunken into the abyss of depravity. And I say again, we have those people with us today. There's a few more things here, but in interest of time, I'll skip it. Let's make this conclusion. In the 19th Psalm concerning presumptuous sins, David said, beginning verse 12 through 14, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." This is a prayer of David. "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression." Presumptuousness. The great transgression. Now, David committed some pretty heinous transgressions during his life, as you're well aware. Committed adultery with a woman, produced a child. Tried to cover it up by ordering her husband home from the battlefront to be with her, but he refused to come because he was too honorable to leave his men on the battlefield. And then he put it up front and withdrew help from him so that he was killed. That's pretty heinous. But in spite of all that, David says presumptuousness is the great transgression. Why? Because we're all subject to it. We're all likely to engage in it. These other things, nah, we wouldn't be doing those, would we? But presumptuousness, look out. Step back, be honest with ourselves. Take a look at how insidious our own desires can be and avoid the sin of presumptuousness. It may be the greatest danger we face. Thank you.